Well, good afternoon. This is last. So if you look at your handouts, just a quick reminder, you'll notice how I put that on there every week. You know, the vision of RMC, of Be, Make, and Send a Disciple, and then also of RMC Connections, which is making big church small. It's hard to get to know 4,999 other members, but you can reduce that size greatly. And then just a few things, the focus of small groups, the focus of community groups, which are activity-oriented. But as we get into this last study, we've covered the importance of relationship. In our first week, we've covered, you know, how to act in a study or what the group dynamics in a study is last week. Is this last part is fellowship of one of the most important parts of gathering together as believers. Is yes, it is studying God's Word, but it's also living life together as well. And so one of the key texts that we get this idea of community is from Acts 2:42. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The word fellowship is koinonia in group, which some of you have heard before. And the word means to share or the share which one has in anything. Participation, association, community, and joint participation. So it is an investment in doing something. And then it comes from the word koinonos, which is actually the person that's in community, which means a partner, associate, comrade, or companion. And so of understanding what this word means, it means doing something together, identifying with other people that are of a like mind, doing the same thing together. So in a small group, fellowship is critical for nurture and growth, of growing in Christ. But to really understand fellowship, we need to look farther in that section of Scripture in Acts and a couple other places that totally shows what the fellowship that was happening in that group. And so verses 42 through 47 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So as we begin to look at this with verse 44, it begins this description of fellowship. And there are two phrases that convey a relationship beyond just mere acquaintances. It says first, what? That they were together. They were unified in a course. They're unified in a cause. They were of one mind. And so that togetherness, which is the unique thing in your small group of why are you going to this individual's house or this host house and discussing the weekend sermon with application? It's because what Christ has done within you. And that's one of the key things to remember of that relationship with God through Christ, of why you're gathering together. And that'll weather the storm. The other things is that they had all things in common. And in English, it's easy to miss this, but that word common is also tied with the word fellowship. Because it's in the Greek, it's a pantokoina. And you've noticed that we've talked about koinonia, and this word is koina, of having things in common. And so they valued relationship over property. No, I'm not going to tell you to put your hand on the TV and send me $1,000. Okay, but this is a concept of fellowship that we're going to get to and discuss more. And then if you look further in 45, it says what they did. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So not only do they value relationship in general over property, they valued relationship over their own property. Is that they were willing to do what they needed to do to take care of those people within that group, within that small group, within the church. And so they realized and lived out kingdom stewardship, because it's not how much stuff you get today. It is what you do with your stuff today as God tells you to. And then finally, from that phrase, we realized that they were responsible stewards assessing the needs. It's just not willy-nilly, hither and yon, and just of throwing things here and there. Because all of you know that you can enable somebody in a bad situation by providing for them. It's so that they assessed the needs and distributed them as there was truly need. And then verse 46 One of the favorite verses that I like there is that, of course, they learned together. It says they continued in the temple daily with one accord, but breaking bread from house to house. How might you word that in today's vernacular? What did they have? Potlucks. Okay? But theirs weren't crock pots. They were clay pots. You know, is that they had that time of eating together. And not only that, how does it describe it? With gladness and simplicity of heart. They weren't worried about a 10-course meal. It was purely being together, learning together, breaking bread and eating together. And it was that overwhelming joy of being with each other, accomplishing those things or living out those things that ministered to each other. So don't underestimate the power of a good meal with fellow Christians whatsoever. And then the next scripture gives a picture of what actually happens within a church. And when I say church, you have to realize the church is as big as your small groups are, probably. Right? You didn't drive all the way from Falcon out to Rocky Mountain Calvary. The only reason I'm saying that is because we have four groups out in Falcon. Is you didn't drive that. You didn't ride your donkey that far. You didn't hop in the family wagon. Okay? His dad's pulling it along. All right? It was severely neighborhood-oriented. And so Acts 9, 36 through 39, it says, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him to not delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So the context is there was a great woman that was highly active in the community, not only the local community of her faith, but also with that city. And she had fellowship with other believers. And look at what it says about her. First, that she had a reputation of being full of good works and charitable deeds. That was her reputation. And good works means efforts of benevolence to those in need. Is that she was doing good things for those that had need. Wait, wasn't that similar to distributing his needs that we had in Acts chapter 2? And then her charitable deeds. It's translated alms in the King James Version, but it particularly means that she cared for the poor, the destitute, and the diseased. It's just not doing good things for good people. It's doing good things for people that have nothing and have no hope. That was part of her ministry. And you'll notice that she died, and it's highly likely that she died because of the ministry that she was in. Because of the people that she was coming in contact with, the way that she was ministering to them. I know they didn't have hospitals and those things that we have today. And so of dying because of that ministry. But look at the testimony that her fellow believers, her sisters in Christ particularly, say about her, is that she made tunics and garments for those in her small church, in her group. Is that that's what they were showing Peter. And with that, it's important to see some things, is that this was her good works and charitable deeds. This is what part of what she did, is that she made this for those people. And she made it for people within her small group. The second thing is those things are a projection of her love for others. We talk a lot about serving one another. And if any of you are like me, sometimes you turn into a hippopotamus and you grumble while you're doing it because you know you're supposed to do it and you still do it. But with her, this projection of her love, as with us, is like how we minister to one another, how we serve one another, is proof of that love that we have for one another. It's a tangible manifestation of the love that you have within your small group. And then the last one is the proof of her love for others. You know, it wasn't just something, I love you, brother, or I love you, sister. You know, God bless you. But it was something that was tangible. It was proof of that love. And so from these passages, we see that a main component of fellowship was a care and concern for one another. I hope that as you go to small group, it's not the aspect, oh, I want to get a big head full of facts and full of wisdom and discussion. okay? But it's that enactment or in living life together with each other and going through those things as well. And so something else I put in there, though we don't hold to Westminster Confession, is that those saints from the 17th century or the late 16th century that put this thing together, they really describe what the communion of saints is, or more likely in our vernacular is, what is a community of saints. And as you look at those things and go through that article number one, it says, all saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by his Spirit, by faith, have fellowship with him in his grace, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory. And being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as so conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. Is that we, coming together united because of what Christ has done, benefit and are required to invest in one another, not only with the grace that we don't deserve, but also with the gifts that the Lord has given us, for the purpose of not only the benefit of the spiritual nourishment within ourselves, but also the external. And so, you know, of them communicating that. And the second point there, saints by profession are bound to maintain in holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification, as also in relieving each other in outward things, according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, as God offers opportunity, is to be extended unto all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so of the reminding us of the requirement to have fellowship with each other in the worship of God. And with that is that how we serve one another is for the edification of each other. And then third is that some people have tangible things to the benefit of others within your community, within your small group. Okay, Galatians 6, 10 particularly, it says, as you find opportunity to do good, but especially to those of the household of faith. And what is funny that has crept within Christianity particularly is that we are all on fire to do good to those that are outside the church, while there's people within our church that are starving and in need. And so that of being part of a small group, of taking care of one another, and ways that can be seen is if somebody's in the hospital, their family still needs to eat. Okay, simplicity of taking meals over there, or of transportation because somebody's unable to drive for a period of time because of medical conditions, or if somebody's moving. Those are things that can be done that shows that I am here for you, that we're living life together, that it's not just that I want to benefit from your 2 cents in hot air about the discussion question on the weekend, but we are here together for his purposes. And so the third one that I'm not going to read through, it is basically saying that taking care of one another is not for leadership to extort and infringe upon each other. For me to say, okay, Jeff, cough up 10 grand. I need to take care of Sally and her family over here. It's not that, because we know that it should be from the heart that aspect of taking care of others should be there. So for you to realize within your small group fellowship that, of course, teaching and the application of the weekend message is important. Okay? But so much more of that is investing in one another spiritually for your growth in Christ above all. And so with that, does anybody have any questions or comments or insights before we move on? Or phone calls or text messages? No. Does anybody have any testimony about the importance of fellowship that you've been in small groups in the past?